Okay, part of a
Okay.
yidzik. This
Heard
is
about that, but
special.
not.
You
Okay.
start with, if you're a computer scientist in the 70s and 80s, you knew that this was a sign taped up on there, on everybody's mainframe. Says, Achtun alles Lückenpiepers. Aus Touristen und nun Texten Lückenpiepers. Das computer machine is nicht for good for finger poking und mittengraben. It's easy schnappen, der Springenwerk, blowing fusing, popping, corking, mit spritzen, sparking. It's next for gewerken, bei das Gummkopfen. Das Rubbernecken, Six-Seaterin, keeping das cotton-picking hands in das Plockismus. Relaxing and watching das blinking lichten. That's funny.
Yeah.
I
You have
thought
to
of
read
that.
it. You have to read it out loud to hear it. Yeah.
Right. And I think of that when I'm looking at this week's parsha. Okay, then we look at this week's parsha and keep this kind of pseudo foreign language in mind. At the end of the parsha, Yaakov has left Laban. Laban catches up to him, starts complaining, "Why'd you run away from me?" Yaakov complains back, "You've been robbing me for these past 20 years." Laban says, "No, I haven't. Right? You're my son-in-law. I'm supposed to be, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do." Anyway, they eventually make up, declare peace between each other. And then source two, Yaakov takes a stone by Matzivan and sticks it up as a pillar. Yaakov Achav, and Yaakov turns to all his brethren and tells them, Liktu avanim, gather stones, vichu avanim, and they took the stones, vayasu gal, and they made a pile.
Who are the brothers he's talking to?
Brethren.
Oh.
So they're all family. I mean, Lovin's his uncle. So
Oh.
Lovin comes with all of his
Oh.
family and Yaakov's
Oh.
kids. Everyone there is Achav.
Okay.
Not his little brother, literal brother. That's Esav, who's still back in
The
Canaan.
guy, you know, the men here call each other Achai. Achi. Achi, well, how are you? Shalom, Achi.
Okay. That's good. So here it's more literal than that because they are, in fact, related.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, but they make it gal. They make a pile of stones. This is their monument, Vayichlu Sham al gal, and they eat there. Okay, that's their Thanksgiving dinner. Vayikra lo Lavan Yigar Saduta, and Lavan calls this pile Yigar Saduta. Yaakov Karo lo Gal Ed. Remember Lavan said about this, Hagal hazeh. Aid b'ni v'nechaya. Like this gal, this pile is an aid, it's a witness between you and me today. That's why they called it gal ed, right? The pile of witness, the heap of the witness mound.
Well, it's that. That's why he called it singular.
Yes, Yaakov called it gal ed, and Yilevan called it Yigar Saduta.
Right.
Okay, kara here, I think, is more general, therefore, it was called.
Okay.
Okay, was Lavan saying the same thing, right? And
Yeah.
the lookout here, where we are on the mountain, that I will says that God will look upon both of us. Can you start each merehu once we are no longer we are hidden from one another? We don't see each other. In Tanet Benotai, if you oppress my daughters or your wives, right, Rachel and Leah, in Tachnashima Benotai, you marry any other women. Ain't ishi money when there's no one here. Re'eh Elokim. But God is a witness. Between us.
What is
Okay.
Nitzaf? What's that word?
Where are you?
Mem Tet Vahamatseva.
Mitzpeh, the lookout, the overlook.
Oh,
Right? This says
okay.
that's used in modern Hebrew. That place is always called Mitzpeh. Right? They're on a mountain. So that this overlook symbolized the fact that God is going to watch us and that we will have to be honest with each other. You're not going to oppress my daughters,
No, I knew
your wife.
Mitzpeh. I didn't know Yitzaf. But that's what
Yitzhak,
he,
that is the
yeah,
root of
that's the
Mitzpeh. That
root.
is the place
Okay.
that Hashem is Tzof, overlooking. Okay. So I understand, was spelled that correctly. Stand. Okay. Okay, the monument embodies the agreement between Yaakov and Laban. It's Gal Ed, It's a gal ed. That's what Ibn Levin says at Witness Mount. But what is yigar saduta? What's a yigar saduta? That's our foreign words here. Why tell us about it? Okay, so Targum explains what's a yigar saduta, translating pasuk memchet, source three. Vamar Lavan, and Lavan said, "Dgora haden sahid." This gor, which means a pile, haden, this sahid is a witness. Haden, today, between us, Aken Krashamay Gal Ed. Okay, Yigar Saduta is the Aramaic for Gal Ed. Yigar, pile, Saduta, witness. So Lavan, right? So Yaakov and Lavan call it the same thing. Yaakov says it says in Hebrew, Lavan says in Aramaic. Okay, each in their own native languages. The question then, why is the Torah telling us this? But it clearly translates in the last next pasuk, right? Lavan says it's an, this gal is an ed, and they called it gal ed, right? Usually we don't get translations in the Torah, even, places where the conversations are clearly in a foreign language, like Yaakov and Paro, they're talking Egyptian. We just translate to Hebrew, and it's in. But here, some reason, the Torah tells us Lavan speaking Aramaic. We got to stick this in here. You should know that Lavan's speaking Aramaic. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Aramaic. Because Aramaic is important in Jewish history. The Gemara tells us that the authorized translation of the Torah was Aramaic. Gemara of Yirmiyah became Rav Chiya Abba. Targum shel Torah. The authorized translation of the Torah, Unculus Hager Amro. Unculus wrote it. We call it Targum Unculus. With Mipi Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, from his Rabbeim, who Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua Tanan. So the Tanaitic translation, Targum Shel Nevi'im, the official translation of Nevi'im, Yonatan ben Uziel Amro, as Targum Yonatan on Nevi'im, Mipi Chagai Zechariah Malachi, from his Rabbeim, who were the last Nevi'im. Targum shel Torah, Unculus Hager Amro. What do you mean? The translation of the Torah, the official translation, put that way, the authorized translation of the Torah was written by Unculus. It's much older than that. Amarav Ika Bar Avin, Amarav Chanan, Amarav, Nechemya. Right, the people are all coming back from Bavel, and Ezra sets up a great reading of the Sefer of the Torah. And they have to translate it because nobody comes back from speaking Hebrew, right? They're all speaking Aramaic. And says by Yikru b'sefer Torah Elokim before Rosh, v'som sechel v'yavinu. That's the pasuk. They read the Torah explicitly with some sechel, with understanding, and they understood all the Mikra, the text, and they said that these three parts v'yikru b'sefer Torah Elokim zeh Mikra. That's when they said the actual text. Mufarash explains Zutargum with a Targum. The Sum Sechel meant that they had a Vesorah where the Psukim were divided. Evita Mikra El Piske Ta'amim, and that is the Ta'ameh Mikra. Implying that this Targum was much older than Unculus, who's in the time of Tanaim, this goes back to Nechemya. So the Gemara answers, Shachachum v'chazru v'yisarita, that they had a Targum, a translation, but it was forgotten over the course of the years, and that Unculus' job was kind of reconstructing it. Putting
Or
it back.
Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua.
Yeshua, right. I mean, so Unculus wrote it based on the teachings that he got from Rabbi Lazar, presumably had teachers going back before that. So that's why
But
this is
that's only one generation or whatever. Yeah. You're
right.
going way back.
Wait, but right. This is already, I mean, Nechemya is already 400. This is 600 years later, is Unculus. So it says, no, that there was an official translation. So I understand this, I gotta say that it's not that the Targum Unculus, as in the Aramaic, was literally a Masorah, but the Masorah was the meaning of the text. The Masorah of what it meant, And that uncles wrote in Aramaic because that's what everyone was speaking at the time.
Oh,
Why should I say?
it's not that they forgot the Aramaic translation.
That's the way I would say if I was a rationalist. Why would you say there was a Masorah of an Aramaic
Right,
translation?
right.
But Marsha says, yeah, there was a Masorah of an Aramaic translation. And that's the point we're going to make. This is the Marsha who says, yes, the Targum Shulchan, the Torah was in Uklos. HaTargum hu Lashon Aramit, right? That there specifically was, there was a Masorah of an Aramaic translation. The Torah vaday nitna b'lashon kodesh. The Torah is in Hebrew, lashon kodesh. Hu lashon yivri me'avotenu. That comes back to our ancestors. We know that. Elu pirusha mi'Sinai. That this the explanation of it going back to Har Sinai hayatargum was in Aramaic.
Oh, wow.
Hu lashon aramit that is in Aramaic. Shahaya lahem u'mergalim ba'bo. And of course, the people at the time still had Aramaic. Mi beit avi imam, levan harami. Right? Their mothers spoke Aramaic, right? Lava's daughters grew up speaking Aramaic. What did they teach their, what did they talk to their kids in?
Aramaic.
They talked to their kids, right? Right? All these kids, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, grew up with their mothers talking Aramaic, right? Aramaic was the original mama lesson, literally.
Right.
Okay? The future, there's the Yiddish, Dino, Judeo-Arabic, Yeshivish English now, right? This, you know, that we still speak. I would say even, I don't have even modern Hebrew.
What?
Actually, sorry, I thought I had.
Oh, as one of the languages?
Yeah. No, I don't. I said I would put, I had the original version, I had the Yeshivish, or I'm putting, even modern Hebrew, which is not Lashon HaKodesh, it's not biblical Hebrew, but it's this
Right.
language you speak at home.
What is yeshivish English?
You know, with all the ayves and the way you talk when you're learning.
Okay.
You know, you
Okay.
got lots of Yiddish words in there. There's a wonderful article by John McWhirter, the linguist, about yeshivish, speaking from an outsider's point of view. Right?
Oh.
He's a black professor at Columbia of
And what's
linguistics.
Judeo-Arabic?
Like what the Rambam wrote the Perush Mishnayot in, or Mor Nevuchim.
He wrote it in Arabic?
Yes,
Oh.
it was. Well, the language that it was written in is to Arabic the way Yiddish is to German. Okay, the Jew way
Okay.
that it's the way the Jews spoke Arabic. The way, okay,
Okay.
it was very
Okay.
similar to that. So, written in Hebrew letters. That's always been the case, okay? But for 2,000 years, the vernacular for the Jews was Aramaic. There's a, I mean, for a short period of time in the, in Beit Rishon, they didn't speak Aramaic, but here that's, I mean, but for a long time, that's what you kind of spoke at home. That's what normal people spoke. You learned in Hebrew, so that the Torah tell here that Yigarsa Duta, this Gal Ed, in Aramaic is a witness to the relationship between Laban and his daughters. That's what it was there for, right? As a witness. So literally, it's telling us about the nature
Very,
of the relationship between
very
Laban and his
cool.
daughters, right? The Imahot spoke Aramaic, right? Torah was in Lashon HaKodesh, life was in Aramaic.
Wow.
That was an interesting idea.
Wait. And then, like the Egyptian, like Har Sinai, that they were speaking Aramaic?
Well, that's what the Marsha is proposing. That even through
Not
the
Egyptian or something.
well, surely they, you know, when they're living in Egypt, they spoke Egyptian, but Lo Shinu Lashonam is the idea, just like, you know, the Jews in Europe still spoke Yiddish at home, even though they're speaking Polish with their neighbors.
And they kept it up, yeah,
That's
because
the
we have
Marsha,
all, yeah,
right? That's the
okay.
Marsha's implication of the way understanding this,
Okay, so
right?
Uncleus wasn't just a new translation into the vernacular then. It was a recreation of an old Masorah in Aramaic.
That's what the Marsha say. That's the way Marsha would
Yeah,
understand the Gemara here,
yeah,
right? Is that,
yeah.
you know, I mean,
That's
a couple
cool.
hundred years, right? I mean, Yiddish definitely lasted, if that was 1,000 years, in exactly that position. There's no reason to say the Aramaic wasn't the same way, right? This
Okay,
book is
cool.
right.
And Targum Yonatan is also in Aramaic?
Aramaic is definitely Aramaic, yes.
Okay. And Targum Onkelos, like today in the Sfardi shuls, when they repeat, when they have a mitargem, and in the Torah reading, they have someone repeating
Do
it.
they is there a Targum into
It's
Aramaic?
Onkelos. It's
Yeah.
Onkelos.
It,
Yeah.
presumably. I mean, that's what the Gemara is telling us, that the
Yeah.
authorized translation, the one you're supposed to use when you're reading the Torah, is Onkelos.
Which is funny because they're reading it into a language that no one now understands.
Right. So when
It's
I
like
write
the
now,
opposite.
we'll do Shnayim Mikra. You're an adult. Thank you. Shnayim Mikra Echad Targum, I'm doing that so much as a translation of the Torah, but as a way of me learning Aramaic, because it helps,
Yeah.
become familiar Aramaic, so I can learn Gemara, which is in Aramaic, which we'll talk
Right.
about as well. So it's a good way to learn Aramaic to kind of look at the uncles. But yes, you're
Yeah.
right; it's very backwards. Okay, so now we're going to look at a halacha. So that's an interesting point, but there's a halacha in the Mishnah, and it says, "In Sota Eru Nemarim b'chol lashon." That has a list of things that you can say in any language.
Oh,
And it
yeah.
says tefillah, right? I can dive in any language.
Not Shema, though, no?
Right. There's a list
Okay.
of things that it has to be in the original Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, and I'll use that term rather than Hebrew, being that Hebrew is sort of
Okay.
modern Israeli Hebrew, but we'll say Lashon HaKodesh in the language of the Torah as opposed to the vernacular. So tefillah can be any language. So the Gemara on that asks in source 8. Tefillah b'chol lashon. What do you mean? It can be written in any language. You can dive in any language. Hamar Rabbi Yehuda. Don't we have Allah Rabbi Yehuda? Olam al yishal adam shachav b'loshon aramit. You should not ask for your needs in Aramaic. Hamar Rabbi Yochanan. Kol shol shachav b'loshon aramit. Anyone who asks for their needs, anyone who prays in Aramaic, ein malchei asharet nizkakin lo. The Malchei Asharet don't pay attention to it, have no connection to it. The Fisha in Malchei Asharet makirin b'lashon Aramaic, because the Malchei Asharet, the archangels, don't know Aramaic.
That's funny.
That is very funny. We should talk about this. Okay, the Gemara answers, Lo kasha, it's not a problem. Habiyachid, as an individual by yourself, don't pray in Aramaic. Habetzibur, where Mishnah says you can do it in any language. That's Betzibur, that's with a minyan. That's in the public. That's with the community. That's Gemara and Sota. We're on Shabbos, very similar.
Wait, how do we know it's not the opposite, that the Yachid is Aramaic and the Tzibur has to be Hebrew?
As of right now, you gotta take my word for it.
Okay.
We can learn the Gemara inside and look at
Okay,
the
but
concepts.
that's clear. The Yachid has to be Lashon HaKodesh.
Right.
And
We still is
Tzibur
not Aramaic.
could
Tzibur
be
can
Aramaic. Okay.
Aramaic. Okay?
Any language, any English.
Okay, Amar Rabba Bar Chana. Rabba Bar Chana says, this is the Gemara in Shabbos. You have a Azlina Batre, okay, it's Aramaic here, right? Because Gemara is all Aramaic. We know that. When I would go after Rabbi Elazar, Shuli, when he would go, interesting. Go visit the sick. What's a tficha? To get exact translation, Google gives me this. In the wilderness, in the rural places, right out in the boondocks, visiting people. Zimnin Amar. Sometimes he would say to the people he was visiting. May God remember you for peace.
Hebrew.
Hebrew. Zimna Amarle, and sometimes he would say to people he was visiting, Rahmana
Ah.
Yedifir Nach Shalom. In
Ah.
Aramaic, sometimes the God should remember you for peace. He would say it in Aramaic, presumably depending on his audience, right? So Rabbi Brachana asked, how could he do that? Amar Rav Yehuda. Wait, we know the halacha of Rav Yehuda, who said, "Alolam al yishal adam tzarcha b'loshan arami." that person should never be praying in Aramaic. Amar Yochanan, Kol Hashol, Lashon Hara, Lashon Arami, Ein Malchei Hasharet, Nizkakin Lo, She'ein Malchei Hasharet, Makirin, Lashon Arami. Yochanan says, the angels don't understand Aramaic. Amar answers, Shani Chola, a sick person is different. Dishchina, because the Shechina is right there. So I have these two statements that said we can't pray in Aramaic because the angels don't understand it. And that's really funny, as you said. I don't know what that means. What do I do with that, right? I don't care about angels. I'm praying to Hashem. I'm praying to the angels. They don't have to understand me, right? And if I take them as God's messengers, then they understand what Hashem wants them to understand. So this is the way Yitzhak Aramai, the Ket Yitzhak, 15th century Spain, understands this Gemara. Okay, we're going to try to understand this Gemara, taking it seriously, not literally. I'm never praying to angels. Source 10. Rachok ma'od. It is really far-fetched. Which sounds like a Yiddish. Doesn't it sound like a Yiddish word? Far-fetched?
Yeah,
Okay.
far-fetched, yeah.
Does sound Yiddish. But anyway, that's literally what means rachok ma'od. Shetia kavara tamzal, that Chazal's intention was that Shamalchei Hasharet einan mevinim lashon aramit. That the angels can't understand Aramaic. Don't take that ozulato or anything like that. Kihem rishanim l'chol because they are disembodied intelligence. They are pure intelligence. What do you mean not understand the language? Lashon eino ela horat ha'dibur pnimi. That's what we're saying. Language is just expressing what we're feeling inside. Ashu sheva l'chol. That's the same, right? That's what God is listening to in our prayers. Is what we're thinking, right? And anyway, Daniel, which is all about angels and is all in Aramaic, right? It goes on about that. But, and for example, he goes on lots of examples where the angels are talking in Aramaic. That then I saw in front of them came a hand, the palm of a hand, and it was writing on the wall, famous writing on the wall, which was written in Manana Pedekal Farsin, written in Aramaic.
Oh, by an angel. Well, who
By
they
an
don't know by
angel.
who.
Right, presumably, right? And Gabriel's talking to him in Aramaic, right? It goes on. It's like, clearly, we don't mean that. So their intention was Zareis Hanashim, to encourage people. She's dadlu ladak, so that they encourage them that they should try to learn laskil batorah ubachachma al derchav amarnu, that they should understand Torah and chachma, as he has been saying, it's in the previous essay, as she yikurish lemutal besidush lishono, that they should understand the tefillah in its complete as it's written. As you come to pray for God, Lashon HaTorah, right? I don't want you to pray in Aramaic. I want you to pray in Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaTorah Kedusha, Vanikia Mikol Sag, that's pure, without any impurities in it. Lashlim Ratzono, that's the means by which we will fulfill God's will. I need to do this in real Hebrew. The way the tefillah is written. That's what I'm trying to cover. I don't want you staying in the vernacular. I don't want you just making up words. So yasim adam atzmo mechla, and a person shouldn't be one of those, the hoi polloi, right? The regular people. That don't know how to ask what they need to ask, don't know how to pray. Rak b'lashon hedyot. They only know how to pray in vernacular. Wuhu Allah's. And that is the foreign language, Hamushutaf v'Na'arim. That's the way women and children speak.
How to get that in?
I needed to include that for you. You know that.
So he's saying the people need to be able to read the Torah in the original, and tefillot should be in the language of the Torah.
Correct. Okay.
Or
Enough,
another
but
way is that the language should, like, you should take Ulpan and learn Hebrew.
yes, you should. That's what he wants to do, right?
Yeah.
But the Gemara, remember, says that, but Tzibur, it's okay. And bechola, it's okay to daven in Aramaic. Amma makam chola. Lamala, that the Shekhinah is there looking at it. Bereshit Tav, Lamala Bereshit Tav is above. It says, Lazunato, to support him, to provide for him, Sado, support him. Amakom, b'torat chesed, God, out of God's mercy, Yerachem, mercy, lak pital chesed, no, won't be so concerned about the lack. Well, okay, you're speaking in your vernacular, not speaking in the real holy tongue. That's okay. Question Amar, Shomer Ptaim Hashem, right? That's example. God guards the fools. Hashem will listen to something place that requires Rachamim, Chaim B'tzibur, Pirush Rashi Zal, right? Yachid Tzarich She'isayu Malchei Asharet. That the playing by yourself, you need the help of the Malachim to get your prayers heard. Rabim Lotzarchi, right? In the community, you don't need that. So I'm going to try to understand what he means here, okay? He's saying that when we pray, we need the formality of Lashon Kodesh, classical Hebrew. You gotta do it right. That praying in the vernacular ends up sounding like Bart Simpson. Okay? You can't bench and say, rub a dub dub, thanks for the grub. Yay, God. Okay? That's not tefillah. And that's what Aramaic sounds like. That's inappropriate. But the truth is two kinds of prayers. The prayers we say and the prayers we feel. And that's the distinction I want to make. Okay? Rabbi Lezer Omer, famously, the Mishnah Brachot, Hoseh tefilot keva, ain tefilot tachanunim, right? Your regular habitual prayers are not tachanunim. Right? Says that, right? Was keva, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Idiom, Rabbi Ushia, Kosa tefilot to domer lav kamasoi. Keva, habitual, permanent, that's like a burden. Okay, I gotta do this again. Every morning, every afternoon, same thing. They said, not saying anything spontaneous. And those are the kind of prayers that need to be formal in Lashon HaKodesh.
The Keva.
The keva, prayers that we feel,
Okay.
tachanunim, what we're saying, we're in the presence of the sick. We're davening for someone who's right there. Or we're part of the community. Those can be said in whatever words, whatever language we feel comfortable. But we don't always feel our prayers. Okay? And tefillah keva is still important. It's still worth saying it every morning, even though, because you're not going to have a chance to feel it if you don't give it, if you don't actually get into the habit of saying it. And this was from this week's field student, the Kivurim Torah Musings blog, and the way he puts it. So I find it helpful to think of tefillah in three modes. The first is the baseline, simply saying the words. Shem comes to shul, so to speak, not just to take attendance, but to recognize your effort. Showing up counts, davening counts. Saying the words is meaningful, even if it isn't with the best kavana. That is important and meaningful. That's keva. You're right, it's not ideal, but that needs help. Okay, that's metaphorically what you need to be. You need to have the Malchei Asharet right there helping you out. Right? It needs to have that structure, the language that Chazal set up. That's got to be in Hebrew. That can't be in Aramaic. The vernacular. And student talks to the second mode is what we call Tachanunim. When you're asking for something you're feeling, that's whatever language comes naturally to you. That's okay in Aramaic.
Okay.
The third mode is you should spend our entire lives in a mode of tefillah. That's even higher level. But I'm not going to talk about that. So that's Aramaic, and that's why we don't, Aramaic is the Lashon of the Targum, but it's not the Lashon of our tefillah, except if sometimes it is. That's vernacular.
Wait, and when you say Aramaic, what could be and can't be, that applies, let's say, to English, right?
The
It's
way
not
I'm
just
learning it,
Aramaic.
the way I'm learning it, I would say the same thing, right? I'm saying vernacular, what you speak at home, right? That we have this formal tefillah, which is
But
important. We have our
maybe Aramaic is different because it's like in the Torah there with Lavan.
right. It has history there. It is important, and I'm saying it has some symbolism there. But we're saying
But
the Gemara explicitly
it's
says
not
that no.
Lashon HaKodesh.
Right,
Okay.
Agumar is explicitly saying that no, you should not be praying.
Right.
Okay. The
Okay.
Maharal goes and says, you know, that we're still misunderstanding their nature Aramaic. Aramaic, despite everything we said, or really because everything you said, is a higher spiritual level than Lashon HaKodesh.
Ooh.
Right. So we're gonna have to get a look at the Maharal. And he starts with the Gemara Megillah, that Rabbi Yochanan patach bei pituche lahai parshata mehacha. That Rabbi Yochanan would start darshan his drashot about Megillah Esther with this pasuk from Yeshaya, talking about the Babylonians. Kamti alehem, and I will come up against them, God says. Yichrati lebavel shem u'shaar. I will destroy any history, any fame, any shame and name, and any remnant, v'nin meneched, grandson, great-grandson, numa Hashem. I will wipe out Babel. And he says, you know, shame there, zeketav. Shame refers to the writing of Babel.
Of
She'er
what? The
Elasha,
writing of what?
writing, Babel, Babylonia.
Oh,
Right?
where they were, the
Right.
Megillah
They have
did.
no, the Babylonians will have no writing, the She'er Zelashon, they have no language. And this is for Israel, this is Maral. Ki Targum, the Aramaic translation, Hu Lamal Ha'Elyona, that's a very high level. Ki Madrigat Olam Haba. Aramaic is the language of Olam Haba.
Oh.
Ki V'zeh Ki Targum Eino Nechshav Lashon Klal. Because Aramaic is not a real language, right? As it says, Hichvati Bavel Shem Mesh'er. Sha'ar, I will wipe out their name, their fame. El Kastim, the Gemara says, this is the Chaldean, the Babylonians. Their language, their writing doesn't count as a real language. We explained there. Arami, Bavel, this language of Bavel, Lashon, isn't considered a language. Lashon, but obviously it has meaning. But what matters if you're speaking Aramaic is what you're thinking. It reflects much more directly than what people are thinking. That's the nature of the vernacular, right? It's not this formal
What
ritual language.
does he mean? It's not a language. What is it? I mean, what does
I
that
mean, I
mean?
think, right, the thing that in the sense of the pasuk means it's not going to be remembered, not going to be spoken ever again. He's taking it more, a little more mystically, as it's not, it is much more connected to the way that people are thinking. It doesn't have the separation between thought and language. That when
Wait,
you
I'm
yeah.
lost a little bit. What pasuk are you referring to?
Now the pasuk in Yeshaya is talking about wiping out Babylonia.
Oh, okay, so read it
Okay,
again.
literally
Come.
it's I am going to wipe out their shame Rishar. Right?
Shame.
Ushar, right?
Usha'ar.
I mean, anyone left of them. Okay, and the Gemara there says that means I'm going to wipe out their language. They will
Oh.
no one will ever speak Babylonian again. The
Oh.
Maharal is turning that mystically into the idea that we're going to consider Aramaic to not be a language. It is simply reflects machshava. It doesn't have the abstractness that language does, the separation from our thought.
So what about Unculus?
Aye. So that's what he's saying. It represents the way you think about Torah. That's what makes it a translation. And that is we're going to look at that a little bit more in a second here. Okay? Hold that thought there. What does it mean that it's the language of thought? Where it represents our thought. It's not like a written formal language.
Okay, wait, but in Babylon they spoke Babylonian is Aramaic. It's the same thing.
Certainly at the time of the Churban, yes, that was the universal language of the Middle East.
Oh, and that's where, wait, but Esther was in Persia.
Was in Persia. Yeah, everyone spoke. I mean, they was Persian, but the lingua franca was Aramaic.
Aramaic?
Everyone
Oh.
spoke Aramaic. Yeah, everyone everywhere, all the official documents were in Aramaic.
Oh, like that letter that Ahasuerus sent out, that was in Aramaic.
We don't have the actual letter.
I know,
It's in Hebrew, it's a
but
translation.
no, but to be consistent with this, that was.
Right. Well, it says, well, there he says that explicitly, Am Kilsho, no, everyone in their own personal language.
Oh, right.
Right?
Oh, right. Very good. Okay.
So other languages existed. Aramaic was,
Okay.
yeah, just
All
like
right.
lingua franca means the French language, right? Everyone spoke
Yeah.
Aramaic. That was the
Okay.
universal. So he's specifically that he's going to go look at the last mission as a Perkei Avot.
Okay.
Okay? Perkei ends with Ben Babak Omer Hafokh Ba Ba Hafokh Ba De Kula Ba. Right, turn over, everything's in it. Ubat Techazeh, and look at it always. Vesiv Ubala Bay, and grow old with it. Kabbalah Torah, Umana Omena Lo Tazua, and don't budge from it. She'en lecha midah tova hemena, there is no greater thing than it. Kabbalah
Where are you
Torah.
reading? I'm lost. Where are
Verse
you reading?
17, verse 17.
Oh,
Hafokhba
17.
v'hafokhba
I'm on
dekulaba.
18. Got it. Yeah.
Okay?
Great.
And then, hey, hey,
Okay.
Omer, lefum tzara agra, that the reward is in accordance with the pain, with the suffering, right? No pain, no gain.
Okay.
We know these. But notice, notably, even though these are Mishnayot, they're written in Aramaic.
Right.
Okay, so Rashi says, "Lahakitana lahamilta b'lashon arami," right? That these are learned in Aramaic. Shehu mashal hedyot, because both of these things, the hafok ba hafok ba dekula ba and the fumtzar agra, were common proverbs, the stuff that people said. That wasn't a learned thing. Everyone speaking Aramaic, that's a vernacular. Say b'nei adam regilim lomar. The people always would say these kind of proverbs. That they would talk in this language.
Okay.
Okay? And this is the Maharal. Try and explain that. It's in Aramaic. Omarani. V'chein I say, v'chein hu, and it's true. Like he has to add that. Tzilakach, ilu shnei mamrim targum davka. These two are written in Aramaic. Hafokhva, that the Torah has everything, and that's where you should spend your time learning. And lefum tzara agra, that according to the amount of suffering, the reward is according to the amount of effort. Translate that way. They're written in Aramaic. Mipnei ki elu shtei ma'alot achronot lo nimtzu malachim. Because we said the malachim don't understand Aramaic, and these are specifically human ideas. These are Torah v'kibul schar. Learning Torah and getting reward are not relevant to angels. Okay? Kilo nitna Torah lemalachim, because the malachim don't have Torah, they don't learn Torah, they don't learn anything. But kibul schar gam ein shaykh malachim, and reward is not relevant to malachim. Ki yeschar hu shaykh davka la'adam, shekona mal yoter masha yokodem. Because the idea of agra, of schar, of reward is only relevant if you can improve, you can get better.
Oh.
Malachim don't.
Okay.
Ki eskaru shech davka adam shekone mala yoteri macha yokodem, get something greater than he was before. Who kone olam haba? That's the olam haba. Okay. Aval madrega zo ein malachim. Malachim don't have any concept of any olam haba. There's no reward. They don't develop. They don't change. They don't learn. Zesh esiyam amamra lefum tzara agra. And this last statement of that the reward is in accordance with the effort. The Malachim klal, and Malachim don't suffer, don't have to work at all. When they do the will of God, they simply are the will of God. Oh, they're nothing more than they are created. And maybe you're going to ask, it doesn't make any sense. She had targum k'neged olam ha'elyon. Then wait, why should the Aramaic be associated with Olam Haba, the higher world, the higher spiritual world? That's what this represents. Hu eno nechshav lashon, that when we just talked about, it's not considered a real language at all. Olo davar ze eno kasha, this is not a hard problem. Ki zeh hagorim ki olam hazeh nivra b'lashon hakodesh, that this world is created in lashon hakodesh. Kach lashon hakodesh mor olam hazeh, that lashon hakodesh is talking about this world. That this Aramaic is not part of this world. And that's why these statements are in Aramaic, because they're not about this world. They're about achieving something higher.
Higher.
Higher. I can learn. Aramaic represents the fact that I can learn. That represents human thought. People talk Aramaic. Malachim talk Lashon
Okay.
HaKodesh. That's what we say, they don't understand it. For me, it's not relevant to angels. You learn in Aramaic or whatever vernacular that you're learning in. Right? You learn in the language that you're thinking in. That's what it means to be speaking in Aramaic. It's the language that's inside your head. Nobody in their own minds is speaking Lashon HaKodesh. Not now. And not even then. It was something, it was kind of formal. So the
Wait,
Devarim
which lashon is ein halashon hazeh is Aramaic?
Where are you here?
The very last of phrase.
Right, that is Aramaic. It's not
And
Seol. It's not Seol.
that's the what like Olam Haba, they'll be speaking Aramaic.
We'll be thinking. Don't be speech at all. We'll just be thinking. But when we speak and when we're thinking now, that's our chance to develop into a Olam Haba. It's our learning.
This is very bizarre. I mean, what kind of statement is that? That it's not a language? What does that mean? It's
I think
written, it was spoken,
it
it was
was.
read.
So in this, literally, it means it's not important. It has no, it had no longer exists. He's saying that it doesn't count as a real language. There are real languages, and this was kind of a fake language that just human beings spoke. It had no.
Okay,
It's, it
and
was
you're
the
saying
attitude that people now would have toward eubonics. AAVE, right?
oh.
People would say exactly that's not a real language. I people are speaking it.
Okay.
Okay, it's exactly that kind of thing.
Okay. And it's not particular to Aramaic, it's just non-Hebrew, non-biblical
In,
Hebrew.
right. Okay, I mean, that's why I would extend that here.
Okay.
Right? That. It's just the fact, and you would look down on people who would be speaking it. Of course, it's not a real language. It's like talking to people who are speaking non-standard English. That's not real language. And your point is obviously that, yeah, obviously it's a language. It's used for communicating, but it represents how real people really speak. And in fact, that's what makes it so holy, because it's what real people are really speaking. And real people can learn and develop. Would you verm ill, would you verm get?
One thing that's not clear is that is could you instead of saying Aramaic throughout this shiur say the vernacular?
Yeah, I would say that, yes.
Because I'm not, it doesn't quite feel that way. It feels there's something special about Aramaic.
I think that is literally what the Maharal is saying here. I am
Okay.
extending what he's saying. So I think his point about Olam Haba, and he's going to continue on this idea that, okay, that the Gemara is written in Aramaic because it is the language, and we'll see about this, language of the Shakla, the give and take, the discussion is all in Aramaic, right? That's because that's what people are saying. I think that's the
Yeah.
point, that
I
it's
mean,
just
there, and
it's
then
the
there's this
language.
irony that a book that's written in Aramaic is saying, hey, this is not a real language. What we're talking to you in now, in the
Is
Gemara,
not.
telling you things, it's not a real language. It's what?
Yes, right. So I think that's the Maharal's point. That's something higher than a real language in that sense. It's lower in that, you're it's a language of uneducated people, yes. But it's a language of every person.
I don't know.
And
It's not
if you
resonating with me because I don't know. Because we are speaking Hebrew. It's not too far away from biblical Hebrew.
Okay, but it's not.
Why
And that
isn't it?
people still need still need translations of the
Not
Torah into Hebrew.
Israelis. Israelis don't.
No one says Vayomer, it's Amar.
All right, so.
Okay, you can translate. There's some languages, some vernacular is easier to translate into, but there's still that sense of sort of this formality and rigidity that has a sense of being artificial, something outside of you, even if you're speaking Hebrew natively.
Okay, is that the end, or
No,
I don't see under construction? Oh, here we go.
we've got
Okay.
okay. Barim Elo Gedolim Hem, and Maral says these are great things. Barim Hem, and they're clear, though I don't think they're actually clear. But yeah, Lefein Hash Shachar. So the reward sheesh, but Torah Hu Magiel Olam HaElyon, that the reward for Torah, this Rufum Sarah Agra, goes up to the higher world. B'chach Elu Shnei HaMamarim B'lashon Targum. That's why these are in the language of Aramaic, because it represents something that applies to human beings, not to
Okay.
angels. It's the language of Olam Haba, because Aramaic represents the language of human beings, and only human beings can achieve Olam Haba's Aramaic. That. Okay? It's not a real Lashon in the sense that it
Yeah.
wasn't the language of the Torah. And that is important. We know the famous, this is Av Torah for Hanukkah. This is Zechariah having a vision of. Yeshua Kohen Gadol and Komar Hashem's Farkot. Thus saith the Lord, Imdra Chai Telech, if you go my ways, and Mishmarti Tishmar, and you keep my commandments, Pagam Tatadin Beiti, and you will judge my house, Pagam Tishmar Chatzerai, you will guard my courtyards, Natati Lecha Malachim Ben Hamdima Ela. I will allow you to walk among those who stand here. That's the vision of the Malachim. Shemana Yeshua Kohen Gadol, Vatavrecha Yoshim Lefanecha, that you, Yeshua, and all your friends here, Kachim Fate Hema, they're men of wonders. Semach, I will bring my servant who's Semach, who will sprout. This is the end of days. And you will be have Mahalkim Ben Omdima Ela. You will walk among those who stand. Human beings differ from angels in their ability to change, grow, and improve. Angels cannot change. They remain the same from the moment they come into existence until they expire. This reason, prophets describe angels as omdim. Angels stand in one place, unable to advance or progress forward. Human beings, by contrast, are referred to as holchim, walking, referring to the capacity to progress, to move forward, to grow, to work in their carrier, to become better. Person remains stagnant and complacent. He has no interest in improving himself, advancing to the next level in religious observance and character refinement. He has negated his most basic human quality. I think that's what Aramaic is there. It is a language that you can. It represents the way you're thinking. It's the language you're learning in. Talmud is in Aramaic. And so the Maral continues, a Talmud, Shehula Chachamim, the Talmud that belongs to Chachamim, B'lashon Targum, is in Aramaic. But Davar K'mosh Barashim, this is because of what we explained. Nay, ki a Talmud hu levarer mishpatei Torah, the Talmud there is how we understand the laws of the Torah. Lever ein kula nimsa b'Torah, eich kula nimsa b'Torah, we're trying to understand how everything is found within the Torah. Raze mipnei ki haTorah hu me'olam ha'elyon. This aspect of Torah is olam ha'elyon. That's the olam haba. That's the infinite potential of Torah. That's got to be human. B'chaka kol hu b'Torah, but Talmud hu malat haTorah b'prat. Talmud is the value of Torah in every detail. That's how you learn, is in Aramaic, in the vernacular. And Yeshua Hartman, who wrote all the notes on the Maharal, he was from St. Louis. You know him? Or I guess his father was a rabbi at Tiferes Yisrael.
No, I didn't know him.
When it was at the building that is now Beis Abe.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't know him.
So his son, Yeshua Hartman, who's in London now, but has written like all the commentary in the Maharals, sort of. Okay, and he adds on this comment, Vartamua, and it's hard to understand what he means that the Talmud, the Gemara is all in Aramaic. Sharu b'chol daf Gemara yesh harbei loshon HaKodesh gam ken. There's lots of Hebrew
Right,
there.
right.
It's a katav called Talmud Chibrov loshon Aramaic. How can you say it's all written in Aramaic? On the Kavanato, the Shakla b'tarya b'Gemara. Shakla b'tarya, give and take. The discussion is all in Aramaic. Sheyula olam b'loshon Aramaic. They talk in, right? They talk and they argue in Aramaic. That's what Aramaic is. It's the language you argue in. You talk. That's the way you learn. You bring out the details. It's the way you're thinking. So that this Aramaic here, this Yegarsa Duta, this testimony, this Sahiru, testimony to the insignificance of our humanity, it's a lowly language, and to the greatness of it. That's what Tilema says. Why do we think of, why do you think of human beings? You left him, you have made him little less than, little below God. Crowned him with glory. I think that's what Aramaic is. I'm not sure. So I'm not sure if I said it as clearly as I'm thinking it. That's always a problem with my thoughts. If I, maybe if I
I
had a
think
good sense of Aramaic,
maybe you should write this in Aramaic.
that's what I'm thinking is that Aramaic may be the better way to write it as a way of, okay, this is what I'm thinking. How can I get my thoughts across?
Yeah.
That's what Aramaic.
Wait, let me just see that last thing about that's what Lovan said, right? Is a testimony to the insignificance of our what?
Humanity.
Humanity, of the insignificance and to the
Right.
greatness of our
At the
humanity.
same time.
Oh. What do you
That
mean?
Aramaic is not Lashon HaKodesh. It's not how Hashem created the world. It doesn't have deep secrets in it, but it represents how we think and speak on a day-to-day basis, and that is our greatness because we can learn, we can grow from there.
Okay.
Lashon HaKodesh is fixed and immutable, and it is the language of the Malachim. Aramaic is the language of people.
I don't know how this fits in this little idea that, the yeshivish world here, they in Israel,
Yeah.
where they speak Sfaradit, good Hebrew, they daven in Ashkenaz because, wait,
Lot of them
has
do
to
it
do
because
with
that's how they talk.
Lashon HaKodesh. They don't want to do certain things in Lashon HaKodesh. What?
Well, I know that, no, the davening is because of Masorah. Like, that's the way my father davened, so I'm going to do it.
No, but there's something else about
There's
not
another
using
idea
the.
that we don't want to get too close to Lashon HaKodesh. So, in other words, I'm going to speak Yiddish, for instance, for my day-to-day activities rather than Hebrew, because
No,
it's
I'll
too
look at it.
close on
Oh,
Hebrew.
I'll send you what I'm, the thought I'm trying to express that I can't. It has to do with. I don't think it's Misora. I think it's. That the street language, yeah, they don't want to daven in street language, which is icky, street language, dirty.
Right. Okay,
They
which
don't
is
want to
part of the
daven in
idea of
that
we don't daven in
Hebrew.
Aramaic, which is
Yeah.
interesting. I almost would have, to me, the Sfaradit is more Lashon HaKodeshi, and then Ashkenaz sounds much more street language. I mean, it's making the point, it's almost going back the other way, but it's at that point
I
of that
know, I
point, not
know,
a
I
real
know.
language. That's the idea of not being a real language, is exactly that,
Right,
street language. That's
right,
exactly the meaning that I think that we're implying.
right. It fits in somehow to this. I don't
Right.
know.
And that,
I maybe go over it. Maybe certain things are, I don't know. Doesn't, it didn't all flow for me.
okay.
But I don't know. I like the beginning a lot. What is that Aramaic doing there and trying to figure it out? And Lavan, Mama Lashon. And it's old, and the Targum is not Unkelus's, but he, it was a Masorah. That was all so interesting. And then I don't know what happened. My
I
mind
don't
isn't
like
good
it.
enough. That's what it is.
Yeah, we're trying to go from the Mamelashon to the idea of
Yeah.
not, right? And then connected to the idea, then understand why we're not supposed to pray in that. I'm not saying
And this
God.
idea that it's not a language. I mean, that doesn't, what?
Well, that's
You know,
exactly
I
that
just.
meaning of it. It's a street language, right? It's what lower class speaks. There's an
Okay.
attitude there, and that's why
And yet
you can't
it's.
use it for a formal tefillah,
And yet
because
it's going to be the language in Olam Haba.
because it's going
Because.
because the fact that it is the language that people speak on the street actually gives that kedusha.
Okay. And the poor angels, we won't be able to talk to them in Olam Haba.
Well, you can still, well, we still have to know the Lashon HaKodesh, right?
Okay.
That we'll still do that. That's
Okay. Interesting ideas. Who thinks about Aramaic? And it's also funny, ironic that the Gemara is talking about it in the language, and half of it is in that language.
right. Which I
That's
think
not a language.
that's what makes it. That Maharal's trying to piece that together. I don't think I'm
Right.
necessarily communicating the way I understand
Right.
that there, and that in
Good
fact, the
morning.
Gemara is
Good
not.
morning. We're wrapping it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. We'll see
Yeah.
how it
It's
comes.
also long, Danny. I mean, I interrupted here and there, but it's long.
It is kind of long. Well, yeah, we did a lot of side points.
Yeah,
We're
we
gonna have to
did.
get with.
Let's see what AI says. Oh, that's going to be interesting.
Interesting. See if the AI. See if
What
the
is it going
AI.
to say?
I don't know. I suspect AI doesn't understand Aramaic.
Yeah, but I also like this idea that the world was created in Hebrew. God said, Yehi or, you know, with words, language. Well, I got some of it. I didn't get it all. Okay.
Okay. Have a great day.
Okay.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Thanks. Now it's totally light. Look.
There you go. It's morning. And it's bedtime for me.